Coming to you live from the Eastern Shore Toyota and Hyundai Studios. The Thompson Tractor Prep Sports Report. Here's your host, Randy Bergen, with Coach Rick Cleveland and Coach Mark Lasseter.
And good Saturday morning to you, and welcome to the Thompson Tractor Prep Sports Report as we are coming to you live from the Eastern Shore Toyota and Hyundai Studios, located right here in South Alabama. And it gives me so much pleasure to say the Fat Pack is back.
I know it does.
I look at the three of us, I'm like, there's not a truer statement out there. Coach Cleveland, good to have you back. How was your Christmas holiday, spending time with family?
It was great. It was great. Absolutely great. Guys, I got to start the show off by saying this. We don't do shout-outs.
Yeah.
But we want to recognize a group this morning, and you'll understand when I tell you why. I want to recognize the 40 Squad, Spanish Fort police officers who eat breakfast where you guys are eating breakfast and are from there. And, you know, we had a bad wreck out on Interstate this week. I don't know if y'all know that.
You were telling me about that.
It's bad. Traffic backed up. I saw more police cars than I've ever seen in Baldwin County together. Must have been 20 or 25. And, I mean, federal agencies and stuff. And there was a guy that they were chasing out of Loxley. Well, he had a wreck. He ended up wrecking under this tunnel, under the 181 right up here.
Bypass?
Yeah, right up here on the top. No, up, you know, where our buddy, the boy that used to coach at Daphne, had his bad wreck. And
J.C. Todd,
where he, right, but down on the interstate,
right,
had a bad, bad wreck. And, of course, the 40 Squad was on duty. And Officer Marker, one of the cars, the guy that was driving the car that they were chasing, caught on fire. One of the 40 Squad, Officer Marker, goes and pulls that man out of the car while it was burning. I'm just telling you. And so just a salute to those guys.
No doubt.
You know, it's a great group of guys. I'm so thankful that we have those men and women that do what they do. But the 40 Squad is special to me. I mean that. I mean, they were right there. He wasn't going any further than where he was. I mean, they had him blocked off, and he ended up going down the wrong way and ended up hitting another car, and it was a mess. So shout-out this morning. Not a shout-out, but to recognize the 40 Squad, and especially – Officer Marker jumping in there and pulling out the – I told him, I said, well, I ain't going to tell you what I said. But, I mean, you know, a guy causing all that commotion, and they thought enough. They did their job. They pulled that man out of that burning vehicle and saved his life. That's what they did. And, of course, he'll suffer the consequences of his actions. Thank you to the 40 Squad. Look forward to seeing them every Saturday. They're right there every
Saturday.
You know,
it's one of those things, Rick, where that's a real – touchy spot for me in our country today about our police and our armed forces, our National Guard. You know, they get out there and they do their job, and they get in environments that none of us understand.
Right.
You know.
Yeah.
Clay gets it.
Clay does get it.
You know.
Yeah.
They've been in those situations. We don't know. And so when they have to make a split-second decision, some of them are – right, some of them are wrong, but they have to make it. I just appreciate them being out, because if they didn't, we didn't have them.
No.
We didn't have them. It'd be like the old Wild Wild West, where, you know, you did something, make somebody mad, it would have killed you. They didn't think about it.
They'd
shoot you.
And we were just talking about this. It'd be just like high school sports are today.
That's exactly right.
That's
Wild Wild West.
The Wild Wild West.
Whatever you want to do, you go right ahead and do it. And
wow.
Dang the consequences.
Man.
Well, got a great show lined up for you today.
That started that one off good, didn't it?
Can we hit the reverse? And, we'll rewind this a little bit.
Fat pack.
Yeah, the angry fat pack. So you didn't get the Christmas gift you were looking for, obviously.
No.
Okay.
It's
all right.
It's a sugar detox.
My gosh. All right. Hey, coming up in the next segment, Roy Shoemaker. We're going to talk about Roy, Coach.
Yeah, we're going to talk about Roy Shoemaker, an original member of the UMS Wright Hall of Fame. It was UMS in those days. played for Coach Bryant, 1961 University of Alabama, but he played and lettered in four sports.
That's pretty big.
Impressive now, I'm just telling you. Roy passed away this weekend, and, you know, there's some people that step into your life and pass away, and we're going to talk about one other fella from a local man from Fairhope during that little segment, but yeah, we look forward to sharing their story and doing that.
And then at 8:30, we're going to talk with Catherine Spurgeon with Greener Phillips.
Yeah, we're starting a little series with David Green and his people there to recognize the AHSAA Radio Network Player of the Week. So Catherine's going to talk about the Player of the Week from this week, and then she's got we've got a question we want to ask her about, you know, something legal. It may help some of us at some point in time. Nobody in particular.
Okay. Why'd y'all both look at me?
Well, we're looking at you. Like,
I know what it's about.
Something I need to know.
All right, look. When
do
I
we
was
have
at,
a permanent feeling coming
when I was at Disney World, they had the little duck guy who stands there with his hand out. If you're not tall enough, well, I got on the right. Do I have any rights there?
I'm standing right beside you.
Oh, boy. Yeah.
That's why I don't spend any money down in Disney. I can't get on any rides.
I can't get on the rides. They won't let me. So your feet don't touch, mister.
Oh, my goodness. Where is this show going? All right. Second hour. We'll talk some blunt basketball. We'll do that with Coach Shumbay Hunter.
Yeah, Shumbay and local Daphne young man played basketball here, a great high school basketball player. Has done a great job as a basketball coach all over Mobile and Baldwin counties, and his brother joins him as his assistant.
Low.
And you, I'm going to tell you something. When you watch the Hunter boys coach, they ain't got one thing on their mind. Those kids doing exactly what they've taught them to do. And if you're an official, you better not make a bad call, because they're going to stare you down. They don't say anything to you. They're going to give you the look that you will never forget. And so,
them kids love playing for those two guys,
do.
Man, I'm telling you.
They do.
They're fun to watch.
Yep.
Well, we'll talk more basketball. We'll do that on the girls' side. McGill girls coach Carla Berry will be on with us, presented by Wiltoo.
Yeah, and Randy, you know, these are two of the premier female basketball coaches, of high school basketball coaches in the state, Carla Berry. And then we're going to get – and after we have Carla, we're going to get Crystal Johnson. I know I stole your thunder a little bit. That. But that's at Hoover. She just won her 400th game. They've won five straight 7A state championships. Competitive balance wouldn't affect them, Mark. They couldn't go anywhere. So,
can't go any higher.
Two great, great coaches. I don't care, female, male, whatever. Just Carla Berry, she knocks it out of the park every game she coaches, as does Crystal Johnson.
And then we'll wrap up the show. Mark, you'll have our Camp Gray segment.
Yeah, and there's so many things in our world today to be thankful for. And sometimes you think about what's going on around you and all that, you hear this and you hear that. Man, when I get – there's a certain time, and I think I've told y'all this. You know, you sit there and you hear so much negativity, so much bad stuff, so much this is terrible and this is bad, and oh, my gosh, what are we doing, and yada, yada. I just have to take a step back and make myself write out a gratitude list.
Yeah.
What am I grateful for?
Yeah.
Because that will pull me out of that funk. I don't like to get in that funk, you know. I don't want to stay there. And so that gratitude list or something that are big to me, because it really does. It's amazing. You know, even though, let's say you get aggravated at your boss at work, okay, wherever your boss is, whatever it is, and you sit there and you think about it, but if you really make that gratitude list out, when you get to it, you can say, you know, I may not like what's going on, but I got a job.
That's right.
You know,
yeah.
And I don't mind going to it. All right, how do I straighten this problem out to get back to that gratitude? You just go talk about it. 9 times out of 10, communication solves everything.
It's funny that you say that. What is it they say? Well, just 1 minute. Randy and I have a buddy who was killing it in his job, the leader of the whole organization. He disagreed in a big meeting. guess what? He's gone. Don't disagree with your boss in big situations because
there's a way to handle
sitting
it.
Outside. That's
there's
right.
a way to handle it. Yep, yep. You're right.
Wow. Wow. I don't even know where to go, Coach. I really don't know where to go right here. But let's go to a break.
Okay.
Let's take a timeout. Let's regroup.
Hey, can we get something to eat?
Some sugar.
Only
sugar.
From the fat pack, but that happened right there. Oh, my goodness. Y'all don't go anywhere. We'll be right back.
Welcome back to the Thompson Tractor Prep Sports Report, brought to you by Alpha Insurance. This segment presented by Green and Phillips Attorneys at Law. Now back to the show.
I see your picture. Your name in
life. Oh my goodness. Okay, so you got something to eat. Now you feel better, Mark?
Yeah, I mean, I felt great when I walked in.
Okay, well, you weren't acting like
that. Oh, come on now.
Well, that big picture up on the wall over yeah. there is significant.
It is.
We're going to have a huge picture of Mark Laster. Already cleared that with Junior. It's going to be sitting right there in the middle of those two very expensive photos.
So when you come into the Genesis room yep. here at the Eastern Shore Hyundai, where we are today, in the Bat Cave, if you will, your picture will be there.
Great. And then somebody gets on that little note below it. $500 for the whereabouts of this man. If you've seen this man, call.
Okay.
Okay. Let's get pull it back together here, guys. Pull it back together. All right, Coach. We have some great sponsors. Of course, Green and Phillips is one of them, and also Premier Collision.
Yeah, our buddy Chris over at and Kim and Jay and Tyler and all the family over there. We've all done it. We've all had our cars messed up by our bad fortune. And I think Mark owns part of Premier Collision because he's got about six cars that look brand new now because Premier Collision has done a masterful job on them. You have any kind of accident, fender bender, whatever, major accident, anything you got, give our friends at Premier Collision a call at 251-478-4500. That's at 1177 Sledge Drive. Tell them Coach Laster and Randy Bergen sent you by there. They are experts in the field of repair. And, Mark, you and Randy have – well, and I have, too. I mean, I was probably the first. But
you were.
Yeah, and so – but please give them a call and tell them the Fat Pack. I'm working on my Fat Pack, by the way, guys. Based on what you just told us.
I lost a quarter pound this week.
You lost a quarter pound hamburger. A quarter pound hamburger from McDonald's.
No, just a quarter pound.
Okay. All right. Well,
I didn't have any frappes from McDonald's.
We appreciate you folks supporting Premier Collision. They do a lot for high school sports.
I can tell you right now, they're on my gratitude list.
Mine too.
They are. Yeah, now, that's one too. Of those things where you start thinking you're having a bad day. You start thinking, well, you know, I've got friends like this at Premier, you know, and they and you think about that, and they just – you go down there, and they just – make your troubles kind of go away.
There ain't no doubt.
You know, they really do. Yep. And so, thank you guys.
Coach, we wanted to talk on, remember, Roy Shoemaker in this segment.
Yeah, Roy Shoemaker. I got a phone call from a listener, longtime listener, Chuck Allen, that has been listening to high school sports and sports in Mobile for many years. And his friend Linda Krigler, her brother, passed away this past week, and Roy Shoemaker was 86 years old, lived in Lilburn, Georgia, has a wife and three children, and Roy was in the initial Hall of Fame class at UMS, right? It was UMS in those days, a military school, graduated in 1958, he lettered in four sports, he was All-State in football and track. He was Mobile County's Outstanding Athlete of 1958. He attended the University of Alabama on an athletic scholarship where he played football and graduated as a distinguished military graduate. But the thing about Roy, he didn't just play football. He lettered in four sports at the University of Alabama, Mark, and you were there. You were there, not in 58, 61, all those days, but that's an accomplishment that I don't know has ever been accomplished, what he accomplished there. And his professional career was just as diverse. He was a commercial helicopter pilot. He flew you listen to WSB and some of those large stations in Atlanta. They got helicopters flying around telling you about traffic. Well, that was what Roy did. He was a helicopter pilot that flew traffic control there in Atlanta. Just a very well-respected businessman, worked in the banking business, and he coached youth sports. That's the thing that got me about Roy. He spent his off time coaching other people's children and giving as much as he could to the community. Devout Christian, and we just wanted to mention Roy this morning because not only is he an outstanding alumni of UMS, but he is also an outstanding alumni of the University of Alabama, a tremendous gentleman, gave back to the community, and our prayers go out for his wife Karen, his sister Linda Krigler over in Ocean Springs, his three children, Chandra Johnson, Roy Shoemaker III, and Brent Shoemaker, all of live in Georgia. But we wanted to recognize him, and at the same time, wanted to mention a local guy. Randy, we played golf yesterday with Dr. Bishop, Ross Bishop.
Yeah.
I didn't know this until I got home and just was going through some stuff on the internet looking at news. Clarence Bishop was Ross's dad.
Yeah.
Clarence and his wife started B&B pecan company, and he was one of the most respected pecan dealers in the Southeast, and one of the finest men I've ever known. I don't remember ever walking in First Methodist Church in Fairhope that Clarence Bishop didn't either give you a hug or shake your hand and say, glad to see you. And we lost Mr. Bishop on the 27th of December, right after Christmas. And I'm ashamed of myself because I didn't know that. The first person I would have called would have been Ross, because I can imagine the pain. I mean, we lose our daddy. And want to shout out and just have some kind words to say about Clarence Bishop, a pillar of the community in Fairhope, an outstanding businessman, and more than that, boy, he loved sports. He never missed what was going on with Fairhope High School.
Never.
And always had a kind word. And he could say a lot of unkind words when I coached there. But I'm telling you, it was always encouraging.
Always.
So, our sympathy goes out to the Bishop family. And I'm sorry that I hadn't said something to Ross, but I can promise you next time I see him, I will.
Yeah, certainly.
I remember when there's one night when I was downtown Fairhope at the steak off.
Yeah.
Everybody cooked steak and they blocked some streets off, and Clarence was there, and I saw him on the street, and he and I, and we stood there and talked, and it was just like for the next 15 minutes.
Yeah.
He just talked about and thanked us and our school and our teachers about what you guys do as teachers and faculty and coaches. Thank you for the work that y'all do. And he means it.
Amen.
It was not just words being said. He truly cared about people and truly cared about making sure that you knew he appreciated the job that you did. No matter, just teaching and being a part of kids' lives. And I'll never be able to repay him for those kind words. They were just, every time you go into B&B, you walk in and you go in there to spend $20. You end up spending $120.
That's exactly right.
Because there's so much good stuff, and you just want to get stuff. You just want great family, Ross and his family, just great people.
Yeah.
And if you ever out there, you headed toward Barnwell on 98, stop in at B&B and see those folks.
Yeah.
It'll brighten up your day.
Sure
Coach,
on
Roy Shoemaker, when did he play at Alabama? I was trying to think of.
He played in 1961.
Okay.
On the national championship team.
Okay. He wouldn't have played with an old buddy of mine, passed away several years ago, Bobby Jackson, You remember
Bobby Jackson? Radio Bobby Jackson.
Yeah, he was the first quarterback for Coach Bryant.
Coach Bryant, he did play with Bobby Jackson.
He did?
He sure
okay.
did.
So, because Bobby played, he graduated high school at Murphy.
Yep.
And then went on and played with the Philadelphia Eagles. I think got a championship there.
Hey,
he played the Blue Gray game. He played.
That's a good segue, Radio.
Yeah. All right, there you go. I don't know. Here we go. Coming up next, we're going to talk with Catherine Spurgeon with Green and Phillips. Don't go anywhere. More right after this.
Welcome back to the Thompson Tractor Prep Sports Report, brought to you by Alpha Insurance. The Boudreaux Cajun Grill communication lines are open at 251-343-0106. Now, back to the show.
And we certainly welcome you back to the Thompson Tractor Prep Sports Report. I am Randy Bergen, along with Coach Mark Laster and Coach Rick Cleland. And, Coach, we got a special guest on our Boudreaux Cajun Grill guest line.
We sure do, Randy. And one of the things that we want to do as football season has ended, Green and Phillips, our good buddies David Green and Will Phillips at Green and Phillips, we're going to start a segment every Saturday with Green and Phillips and talking about the AHSAA Radio Network Player of the Week. And then we're going to talk a little bit about law to help Mark out a little bit as he's teaching some drivers how to drive. It'll be a great segment for you, Mark. But this morning we want to welcome Catherine Spurgeon in. And, Catherine, good morning and welcome to the Thompson Tractor Prep Sports Report.
Good morning. Thank you so much for having me on.
Well, we're just delighted to have you on. And give us a little information about the AHSAA Radio Network Player of the Week presented by Green and Phillips.
Yes, it's a great one. This week's Player of the Week is LaFleur senior Armani Rowell. And Armani scored 26 points in the Gulf Coast Holiday Classic win over Citronelle. And he also put 16 points on the board in the big win over Blount in the Classic Tournament. And, of course, Armani is coached by Johnny Mahane at LaFleur. Green and Phillips does some stuff with LaFleur and their athletic sponsorships, and it's truly just a great school, great program.
You know, Catherine, we appreciate everything Green and Phillips does for not only for the AHSAA Radio Network, but also for us here at the Thompson Tractor Prep Sports Report. Tell people how they can get in touch with you folks there at Green and Phillips.
So easy. You can call or text us anytime at 251-300-2000. And even on the weekend, 24/7, you can call or text that number. You can go to our website, greenphillips.com, or you can just come by our office, 51 North Florida Street, right across the street from Butch Cassidy's. Anytime, you never need an appointment, Monday through Friday, 8 to 5.
And we also have offices in Birmingham for our listeners in Birmingham, don't we?
Yes, we do have an office in Birmingham. We've got an awesome team up there in Birmingham. So you can, if you call that same number, 251-300-2000, we can get you connected with a Birmingham lawyer.
All right, Catherine, let's ask you this. And we have a Coach Lassiter also teaches driver's education and spends a lot of his summertime doing that. But our question this morning is, if someone is injured in a hit-and-run accident, do they still have options for getting help?
That is a great question, and it's something that we deal with all the time. So first, your answer is absolutely. You definitely still have options to get help. At Green and Phillips, we have a team of investigators who work to just investigate the situation. So we're tracking down the driver by pulling footage and talking to witnesses and following any leads, maybe by surrounding businesses, things like that. And even if that other driver can't be found, a lot of times your uninsured motorist coverage can step in to help. We totally understand that hit and runs can feel so overwhelming, but again, we deal with them every single day. So if you need help or just somebody to kind of help walk you through your options, please call us anytime.
Catherine, thank you so much for joining us this morning. Our buddies at Alpha have brought you Green and Phillips segment along with Green and Phillips. So we're so glad to have Catherine Spurgeon on with us. And, Catherine, we hope you have a wonderful weekend, And thank you for joining us this morning on Thompson Tractor Prep Sports Report.
Thanks, Rick. Have a great Saturday.
There you go. That brought to you by Green and Phillips. So look forward to that every week, Mark.
Yeah, absolutely. Anytime you can find a way to recognize kids and what they do, it's a big deal. And I would be remiss to thank, you know, to not go back and thank, you know, Blue Water Millworks and Marvin Windows back in the fall. You know, we did the True Grit Award. And, man, we got a lot of thanks from coaches and parents and kids about that, just for recognizing kids. So thanks to Green and Phillips for doing that, for bringing this out and letting us, you know, celebrate these kids on the things that they're doing athletically and letting them get a little bit of a moment in the sun.
You know, Randy, one of the things that is going on right now that has been real interesting for us in the fall, and we're going to talk a lot of basketball here in the second hour, but flag football has been a big hit across the state of Alabama. We now are, I think we just had our first year of flag football in junior colleges of Alabama.
That's true.
And now five more junior colleges are going to There's going to be a resolution forthcoming in the Alabama legislature to introduce junior college football in Alabama, junior college men's football in Alabama. I wanted to kind of get a feel from you two guys about that, because with the way high school kids are really, I think, being overlooked in many instances, we're going to present a petition, or really a resolution, on the House floor and see where it goes to get junior college football re-implemented back in Alabama. You know, years ago, Marion Military Institute had junior college football.
Well, I don't know why you don't. I mean, you've got it in Mississippi, and it's pretty big time. It's a great feeder for some of these college, you know, Alabama, Auburn, wherever. But I think we should have it in there, personally.
I agree. I think that there's a lot of kids that don't get to go. Because, see, at junior colleges across the country, they can only take X amount of players from outside their district, whatever their district, their collegiate district is. Yep. They can only take 10, I think, out. Everybody else comes from within the district. So it's not like, oh, just because you're good and you live here in Mobile or you live in Daphne or Fairhope, wherever, that you can just go to Mississippi and get on a junior college team.
Can't do it.
Because you can't. Yeah. Unless they've got enough room to put you, they're not going to bring you. Now, and what they did in the past, now, times are changing and a lot of things changing, but a lot of those guys used to only take from out of district the true blue chippers who were going to be playing in the SEC. That's who they wanted. That's who their first targets was. Doesn't mean they always got them. But that's who their first targets were. Kids that played and lived in the district, they were more apt to get, you know, a guy who could play who may not be a blue chip, a five-star, four-star, three-star, whatever the star is, may not be that guy. Yeah. And so if we had it here in Alabama, that would just, to me, open the opportunity for lots of kids to have a chance to play collegiate ball at the junior college level. They could find out, is this what I want to do? Do I want to try to go? Because a lot of times you go into college football and you kind of like, I love football, but this is not what I bargained for, you know, or whatever. And so I think it's be a great thing, because we could fill up. I mean, football, junior college football would fill up in this state.
Well, you think about what Coastal could do.
There's no doubt.
You know, Randy, you spent a dozen plus years broadcasting
basketball
at Faulkner, which is now Coastal. Imagine how good they could be. You don't have to go any further than Baldwin, Mobile County, and West Florida, and you'd have a heck of a football
Absolutely
team.
Would.
Couldn't agree with you more.
And
take Bishop State, for example.
Yeah.
I mean, they have that place is full as well. they could put together a good football team.
They sure could. I hope it has some footing, Randy. I really do. Let's see. What else?
Well, I got quiet here all of a sudden.
Well,
I'm
trying to. I was looking down at my notes and.
Can we talk? I don't know if we talk about that.
Yeah,
what we talked about.
We can talk about anything about
separation.
Separation of public and private.
Oh, don't get me fired up now.
Well, we need to talk about it. Because,
you got about 2 minutes.
Well, no, we got a whole segment coming up that was reserved for too.
Gotcha.
So, it's going to happen. It's going to happen. Public and private are about to be separated. I believe that with all my heart. I think the central board has had enough. For whatever reason, they've had enough, and they're going
to – Explain to the listener what you're talking about.
Well, I think that the central board – now, this is personally my own take on it – is that in their – and it, I would think it's going to come this year. Mark, we've put off our meeting of classification until January 23rd, and they said they were mediating some lawsuits or some things that were going on. I think they were trying to figure out what to do with classification in public and private schools.
You know, and I've seen some stuff that people think it's going to happen and what it looks like. And I'll just be honest with you. I mean, I get it. I'm not real happy with the High School Athletic Association and how and competitive balance has just sent me over the edge.
Right.
I'm just telling you. Because in my opinion, that ought to be for everybody in this state. It should.
Well,
I mean, I'm just telling you. What's the difference between Ann Schilling winning all of her state championships at Bayside and Hazel Green winning all of them in basketball?
That's right.
What's the difference?
You're right.
You know, but granted, Hazel Green 7A, are they 6A?
They're 6A.
So why aren't they 7A?
Yeah.
You know, that's the thing. And then it's not just Hazel Green. I'm not picking on them. I mean, the guy's done a great job.
Yeah.
He's a great coach.
He's a great coach.
And why should he be penalized for doing a great job? But if you're going to do it, then do it for everybody. And all the private schools, my understanding in a simplified term of this deal is make the game, make everything playable across the board.
Right.
If you're going to do multiplier and competitive balance, at least make competitive balance for all schools.
Right.
For
and
everyone.
Do away with the multiplier.
And do away just with
do
the
multiplier.
There's no sense in it.
And let's explain what the multiplier is. Every private school in the state of Alabama that's a member of the High School Athletic Association, in what grades?
9 through 11.
9 through 11, every one of their students counts 1.35.
Correct.
Instead of
1.
1. So that's unfair.
That's where it starts.
Yeah, it's unfair.
Why don't we dig into this a little deeper in the next segment? How about that?
Sounds good.
All right, y'all stick around. We appreciate you and glad to have you on board right here on the Thompson Tractor Prep Sports Report.
Welcome back to the Thompson Tractor Prep Sports Report. PSR is live every Saturday from 8 until 10 a.m. Now back to the show.
And we certainly welcome you back to the Thompson Tractor Prep Sports Report as we are coming to you live from the Eastern Shore Toyota Hyundai Studios right here in the Genesis Room. And the little Boss Gags.
What? Hi, this is Casey Kasem. We've got Boss Gags. Casey. We'll have a love letter coming up for you in just a minute.
Oh, my goodness. We have absolutely lost it today. The Fat Pack, I'm happy to say, is back, and we are shooting in different directions here. All right. Pull yourself together, Rick.
You know, this separation that I'm afraid is going to take place is we're not – you know what we are today. We're almost getting like college football. We're on a one-year rental program. That's what we're on, just about. I mean, and I think that's the real issue. I think that's the real issue from Huntsville to Mobile, from Tuscaloosa to Auburn, is these – the transfers and – that has made a lot of coaches feel out of place. And then the common denominator among all schools, I think, all the private schools, is that the competitive balance is unfair. And at some point in time, there's got to be some resolution to that, guys. There's just got to be. And what is the answer? I think the answer is making competitive balance level across the board for every school in the state of Alabama. And, you know, you have a way to move up and you have a way to move down. Ann Chilling has no chance of ever going back down in her coaching career, I believe this, back down to the 3A level or maybe even 2A level that she really should be at as a volleyball coach at Bayside.
It's without the multiplier.
Right.
Let's go all the way to the origin. You know, no multiplier. Bayside Academy is a large 2A school.
Yep. Yeah.
Ann Chilling, in today's world, coaches in a 7A world.
Yeah.
Now you tell me what's wrong with that picture. Now everybody's going to say, well, she does this and she coaches her fanny off.
She does.
She's worked very hard to build a program, you know, throughout all of our area. She was one of the ones who got it started with club volleyball. They got it started. It's all over the state. It's not like it's just Ann doing it. They got clubs everywhere. She's got lots of clubs at play, and she helps run them.
Yeah.
But she doesn't get to coach any of those kids. You know, she sets the program up, and she works it, and kids come out, and they want to play for Ann Chilling because she's done a great job. She's a great coach. Who doesn't want to go play? Why do you think people are going to play at St. Michael? They want to go play for Phillip Rivers.
Yeah.
He's a tremendous coach, big name. You know, you just saw what he did.
Yeah.
People are attracted to things like that. Doesn't necessarily mean that they're out recruiting them. You know, that's what everybody thinks. Well, the private schools get out, and they recruit, and they do this. There's more rules for private schools.
Amen.
And then there is for public schools. You know, there's no money trail.
Yeah.
You know, there's no money trail.
In the public schools,
there's no money trail. That's what everybody knows. We got to follow the money, see who paid for what or who did this. I mean, we can go into this, and folks in public schools, and I was a public school guy for a long, long time. You know, most of my career has been in public school.
Yeah.
But I see that this thing is, we're making this into who wants this and who wants that, public versus private. And it's not supposed to be that. It's supposed to be about what's best for the kids in our schools. Well, that's what it's supposed to be about. And we're not making it. Right now we're making it about adults and what adults want.
Let me ask you this, Coach, and let me dumb this down a little bit, all right? Why did this even start, this competitive balance, all right? Ann Chilling's winning year after year in volleyball. A, because she coaches well, because she works for the players, they understand winning, blah, blah, blah. Go through all that. So what? Congratulations. You win, all right? Why should she, and Bayside in this point, be, I think, for them to be rated and moved up, why does that make sense? Why can't they just stay at 3A? That's where they are.
Let's go back to the genesis of this, okay? Just the very beginning of all of these problems. There's a private school in Madison County called Madison Academy years ago. And they had a group of coaches that began to bring in players from a lot of different areas. Well, and let me preface that by saying that whole staff was let go by a headmaster who said, we're not doing this anymore. But it made some people who were in state government very angry. And at the same time, there was a team here in South Alabama that was doing the same thing. And as a matter of fact, they sued the state, they sued the AHSAA and lost. But when you look at the genesis of that, it is that there was some things going on that were wrong, and they wanted to punish the private schools. And I'll answer that too. So they wanted to punish the private schools. So they began to, and the multiplier was already in effect then, Mark, if I'm not mistaken.
Yes, it was.
And so They did. They put competitive ballots in a few years later.
Coach, so we got a text question. Only got about a minute left here. So this is from a backstrap stacker. Ask, can you tell me what Saraland gets out of playing 6A football? I'll leave it right there.
No, go ahead.
Go ahead for the rest.
Okay.
Besides their rear ends being kicked when they play a real team.
Well, they play a lot of real teams. I mean, I don't think that's a very fair question, to be honest with you, because they play in one of the toughest 6A regions in the state of Alabama. They play Theodore every year. Theodore, generally year in and year out, is one of the top teams in this state. They play McGill Tulin, who's a really good football team year in and year out. They play Spanish Fort, who year in and year out is really good. So that question, while we appreciate you asking that question, they play really good football teams all year long. Now, let me tell you this. When you play in the state championship game, buddy, you're going to play against a good football team. Ask Mark about that. Ask Mark. He'll tell you how good teams are when you play in the state championship game. So I can't answer that question I can't affirm what you're saying because they play a tough schedule every year.
Don't forget St. Paul's is in there also.
That's exactly right.
Yeah. So there you go. Boy, first hour has come and gone. When we come back, we'll talk some Blount basketball. We'll do that with Coach Hunter right after this.
Coming to you live, the Thompson Tractor Prep Sports Report, presented by Alpha. Here's your host, Randy Bergen, with Coach Rick Cleveland and Coach Mark Lasseter.
And welcome into the second hour of the Thompson Tractor Prep Sports Report. I started to sing the song. I got to be honest with you. We are happy that you're here with us. I am Randy Bergen, along with Coach Mark Lasseter and Coach Rick Cleveland. The Fat Pack is back. And, Rick, we got a special guest on our Boudreaux's Cajun Grill guest line.
Yeah, we want to welcome Shumbay Hunter, the head basketball coach at Blount High School. And, Coach, welcome to the Thompson Tractor PSR. And, listen, we got some kind of in the background. I'm hearing myself ask questions. That's not good. But, Coach, talk about last night. You had a game at Murphy scheduled, and all of a sudden the floor became like an ice skating rink.
Yeah.
Kind of tell us what happened there.
It was a big, big crowd. Obviously, raining outside, moisture. Kind of feel weird. You know, it's kind of tough to control. I don't know if the unit was on as high as it needed to be or low as it needed to be to dry that stuff up, but I tell you, it was unsafe conditions for the most part.
Well, and you know, and that's another thing that I worry about as a former coach. We're packing these gyms out, and especially when you get inner city in Mobile or inner county in Baldwin County. These gyms are packed, and at some point in time, we got to say that's enough. We can't let anybody else in, and I don't know what the protocol is on that, Mark. As an administrator, I never had that problem when we were at Fairhope, but we had big crowds, but we didn't have those kind of crowds. And I know your first instinct is you got to protect your players.
No doubt. That's what I discussed with the officials, and that's a minute in to a high profile area game. Both teams 1-1. I mean, 1-0. And you know, it was obviously a great atmosphere, but you know, not safe to go with the safety part on that.
Talk a little bit about your team this year and what your preseason expectations were, and have you met those expectations up to this point?
Yeah, young group, new staff. So that's always fun in itself, you know, just learning each other, learning each other's ways, learning what makes each other go, learning what it is to be successful together. Our expectations in the preseason is just where they are right now. just continue to learn, which is this is a learning, is always learning situation, no matter what it is or how it is. So I think we're right where we thought we would be at this particular time, and we just want to continue to grow as we move into in postseason play.
You know, Coach, when you get this time of year in January, it's when all the area games start stacking up on one another. Tell us a little bit about your area, who's in it, who y'all need to beat, how things are looking, and who you may you have next on your schedule.
Well, our area is tough with the likes of football in Area 1. But we have us, Blount, Murphy, which they're high caliber coaches. They prepare teams. The talent level is there at each stop, and this thing is competitive, which we like. We love to prepare for big nights, big contests, and I would have it no other way. We after last night we will. We'll host Saraland on Tuesday. So Saraland is up. And then on Friday of next week, Theodore will come back to us after we played them the other night. So, like you said, they stack on top of each other. We see each other a little bit quicker than the week. This makes for
somebody, we're having a little trouble with. Shumbo, we're having a little trouble with your phone and reception, but I want you to tell us a little bit about your win over Theodore.
That was the opening night of our area play after the Christmas break. So we talked to our team about the importance of focusing on one game at a time. I'm not saying that the games before then didn't matter, but these area games truly matter because it puts you in a position to move forward. Possibly hosting the area, so it matters. You know, seating matters, placement matters, and that's what we kind of talked to our kids about. But we came in with a plan, was able to execute that plan. There's a World Cup. I was rolling. We had to counter some things doing, especially with a big kid that he has. That's pretty good. Sophomore post player. So we had to neutralize him and was able to do that. And luckily enough, came out with the victory.
Well, congratulations on that. And we're having some trouble with your phone, but we'll touch base with you later in the year. Nothing but best wishes for you. Thank you for the job that you do. You're between you and Lowe. Running that basketball program, they're in good hands there at Blount High School. And you take care. We'll be in touch as we move forward.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
Thank you, Coach. Tell Lowe hello for me.
That's a good group of people there, and they do a great job. One of the things I love about Shumbay Hunter is he gets their attention, and it's yes, sir, and no, sir, and Lowe's right there with him. And they teach, and that what they're doing is they're producing, hopefully down the line, good fathers and good husbands, and that's important to those two guys.
I'm 100% with you on that. I can remember when I was at Fairhope, and we would play Baldwin County.
Yep.
When Lorenzo was there, and I'd sometimes go up there to watch. I just love to watch.
Yeah.
Watch his teams play and watch. You know, we had Ralph Watson. What a great guy. You know, yep. And. To me, with two of the better coaches in our area, and I love to go watch two really good men coach.
Yeah.
I really like watching that. And to go and watch those guys and Lowe's guys, man, I'm telling you, he demanded their best
right.
in everything that they do.
Yeah.
I'm telling you, that's why those kids would play basketball. He never had problems having kids out for basketball. Those mamas and daddies in Bay Minette, when he was there, they knew what they had Lowe's number. They knew how to get him. And if they were having any trouble at all at home, they would call Coach and say, "Coach, we're having a little trouble with this," or "Hey, Coach, this is our son has done this.
Yeah.
I want you to reward him. You know, let him know."
Yeah.
And because he was a part of that community. And it's the same thing with Shumbay and Lowe, where they are. They're both embedded in that community and becoming a part of those kids' lives. And that's, guys, that's what it's all about, Coach. And those two get it.
There ain't no doubt. And look, they got a pretty good record right now. They're 11-4. Coach, you're 3-2 at home. How about this on the road? Away? 6-0.
Yeah.
Nice. That's pretty big.
Yeah, that, you know, the Hunter, those two brothers, they get it. They get it. They understand the game. They know the game. They played the game. And they coach it with the passion of I'm telling you, they do a wonderful job. I went over and watched Blunt play in the Classic over at Mobile College, University of Mobile. And they had already beaten LaFleur earlier in the year. Well, LaFleur kind of had their way with them. And Blunt didn't play very well. But all you heard Lowe doing and you heard Shumbay doing, encouraging, encouraging, encouraging. If you made a mistake now, they let you know about
They'll give you the tough love you need.
Yeah, they did that. But, boy, I'm just impressed every time I watch them
Me
play.
Too.
And they'll be around at the end of the year and be a part of – deciding who goes where. I can promise you that.
Yeah, no doubt. You know, going to continue talking basketball, and you mentioned it. We're going to talk a lot of basketball this hour. We're going to take a timeout coming up here in just a few moments, but we're going to talk some McGill girls basketball. We're going to do that with Carla Berry coming up in just a few moments. Of course, that presented by Will Too.
Yeah, and of course, Carla is just, she's one of the premier ladies basketball coaches in the Southeast. I mean, she is a tremendous, tremendous basketball coach. Of course, between her and Philip Murphy at McGill, you got two of the finest in the area. So we look forward to talking to Carla.
We will do that when we come back from this short timeout right here on the Thompson Tractor Prep Sports Report.
This is the day of the expanding man.
Welcome back to the Thompson Tractor Prep Sports Report. Call or text the Prep Sports Report at 251-343-0106 on the Boudreaux's Cajun Grill communication line. Now, back to the show.
And welcome back to the Thompson Tractor Prep Sports Report. Randy Bergen along with Coach Mark Lasseter and Coach Rick Cleveland. And Rick, we've got a special guest on our Boudreaux's Cajun Grill guest line right now. Talk a little McGill girls basketball.
Yeah, Carla Berry, one of the premier basketball coaches. It doesn't matter, male or female, one of the premier basketball coaches, not only in the state of Alabama, but in the Southeast. And we always love having her on, presented by Will Too. And Carla, thank you for joining us this morning. And talk just a little bit about your game with Spanish Fort yesterday.
Thank you for having us. We played pretty good. It was we scored 64 points, got off to a good quick start. I would have liked to seen us take a little bit better care of the ball. But it was an area game. Those games are always important. Don't give you much of a margin of error. You know, that's a common opponent. We hadn't played them yet this year, but we've played them quite a bit in the last few years. So I thought we were prepared for the game and executed well offensively. Just had too many turnovers. I was really pleased with our effort in the paint. Reagan had 22 points, which was a season high, and 11 rebounds. And then we had two other double-digit scores. Emma Burkett had 16, and we shot the ball really well. We shot the ball over 50%. And Michaela Johnson did a good job of attacking, and then Cam Wright has been our most consistent player throughout the year. She was under 10 points last night, but the defense was focused on her, and that allowed – some of our other players to score.
We're talking to Carla Berry, the head women's basketball coach at McGill Tulane. And, Coach, talk a little bit about, from your perspective, the shot clock and how you're going to implement that with your team and how much does it affect your team with the implementation of the shot clock coming in. And I think next year we'll have it full time.
Okay. Yes, we've had some practice with it. We talk about it at practice. I think, you know, we've done a good job from year to year, regardless of our personnel, with adapting to rule changes. When we've played with the shot clock, there's only been a few times we've adjusted well. We've used it more in practice just to kind of get used to tempo. I think it'll be good. It'll take a while for girls basketball to adjust. I coached the North-South All-Star team during the summer, and we won that game 85-75. There was only one shot clock violation. I thought it was great, and it helped the game play at a faster pace. My concern with women's basketball, girls basketball in the high school level, is the disparity with really good teams and teams that are not so good. You're going to see some really bad scores, and that has always been my concern. So I think it will be great, overall, and teams and girls basketball will eventually adjust. But I do think early on it will create some lopsided scores that will be unfortunate for teams that are that struggle to score.
You know, Coach, you got the month of January is area play, area games every week. Tell us a little bit about your area and who y'all have got coming up next.
We play Baldwin County next on Tuesday in area. We actually go to Baton Rouge today to play Zachary. They're the number two team in their classification in Louisiana. I think they're 17-2. We're 18-2 or 19-2. So I'm expecting that to be a really, really good game. And will test us, particularly for our playoff run. But getting back to our area, we've got Baldwin County on Tuesday. We've been successful against them. Their coach does a great job with them, but we've been blessed to have a little bit more talent. And so I suspect we'll be able to pressure the ball on Tuesday and get out in transition. That's one of the things we've been doing better recently and helped last night as well. We're pushing the ball. And then we've got Gulf Shores, who we played at open the area play against on Wednesday. We were able to win that game, and then we beat Spanish Fork. So if things go according to plan, I think the difference maker for us is our ability to score off the dribble, to get out in transition. Reagan is a difference maker in the paint. And then our ability defensively to create turnovers with our pressure has given us an advantage in the area, and hopefully that will hold true.
We're talking to Carla Berry, the head women's basketball coach at McGill-Toulon. And, Coach, you know, we see the propensity for teams, and a lot more in boys than I've seen in ladies, but to penetrate and punch it out, talk just a little bit about is – are you seeing more and more ladies that are going to that dribble penetration and kicking it out to the three-point shooters in the corners? And is that something that your ladies utilize? And is it a part of basketball now that we're seeing more and more in the ladies' game?
Absolutely. I do think that's something that's trending in girls' basketball, and I think it's here to stay, particularly with teams that are not exceptional off the dribble. You can spend a lot of time at practice with shooting threes, and there's some coaches that make it an exact science with how they rebound, how they want to get those shots. Gulf Shores and Spanish Fort are two great examples. We also played Bayside this year. We beat them pretty easily, but of their 21 points, they had 18 of them were on the three from a three-point range. They only had they had a free throw and a 1 2-point basket. So you see that a lot, particularly with teams that don't play really well off the dribble. And one of the things we have to adapt to is understanding against those teams. You have to stay home on shooters. You have to contain the ball one on one and stay home on shooters a little bit. And I think in our game against Gulf Shores. Again, we only gave up a few points in the paint. We got beat off the dribble once, and then everything else was an open three or open jump shot off being reversed to the weak side or reversed quickly to an open shooter. So that's something that's here to stay. We do it a little bit. We've had good size, so our ability to score in the paint and off the dribble, we kind of mix that in with shooting the three. So I think I like our balance. But I understand why other teams shoot the three more because it may be to their advantage based on their personnel.
Coach, we got about a minute and a half here. You mentioned intersectional play. You're going over to Louisiana to play. Talk a little bit about that, the genesis of that, and how you feel about doing that in the future.
Yeah, we do it. We go to Pensacola. We go to we're going to play at MLK at West Florida High School. We've also gone to other places. I think it's important that you see different styles of play. You get used to what you see locally, so it's important, particularly with preparing for a playoff run, that you see all kinds of styles of play and that you're challenged by teams that you're unfamiliar with. So that has been to our advantage the last few years. We will continue to do it, and I strongly recommend that a lot of teams do it, which they are doing.
Coach, we want to thank you for taking time to be with us today. Good luck in your ball game today, and certainly safe travels. And we look forward to having you back on real soon with us.
Thank you. I appreciate you guys. Shout out to our boys on their big win last night.
Amen.
There you go. There you go. That's right.
I love that. She's, there's a girl, Carla Berry, shouting out to Philip Murphy. Good for, I love that.
Thank you, Coach.
Thank you, guys. You have a good one.
Thank you, too. Carla Berry.
She's a good one, girls, guys. Boy, she's
basketball
a good one.
Coach. Yeah, you can tell just by the way she talks. Yeah. I mean, she's certainly on top of it. And that, I like that. I mean, they're traveling over to Louisiana to play today. That'll be a fun ride for the girls. Good luck to them. They got a pretty good basketball team.
They got a really good basketball team. And they, I tell you right now, if you watch them play defense, too, those ladies, they smother you.
Yeah,
they do. They smother you, and that's just really good basketball. We've seen girls basketball come so far, Mark. You and Randy, if you remember early on, we'd see games like 6-4, 10-8. Now, I mean, she scored 64 points yesterday,
yeah.
And so girls have really, really gotten better. But the most important thing I think we've done is we've hired some really outstanding coaches to coach women's basketball. And not just a defensive line coach coaching girls basketball to have another thing to coach.
Well, Terry Curtis made a great hire years ago.
Oh, here we go.
He really did.
Yeah, I know.
He brought Mark Lasseter in. He's a 4'2" sensation. Comes in, coaches the middle school basketball team. Set that program back years.
Set it back centuries. Oh, my goodness. Hey, we'll continue talking girls basketball. We'll do that with Crystal Johnson. She's the head basketball coach for the Hoover Girls. They play Vestavia today. We'll talk about that when we come back on the Thompson Tractor Prep Sports Report.
Welcome back to the Thompson Tractor Prep Sports Report, brought to you by Alpha Insurance. Now, back to your host, Randy Bergen.
Some good stuff. Can we let that roll for just a second?
Yes, please. No comments.
Hey, welcome back to the Thompson Tractor Prep Sports Report. Randy Bergen, Mark Lasseter, Coach Rick Cleveland. We are all here, and guys, we continue talking basketball. And Rick, we do that with a special guest on our Boudreaux's Cajun Grill guest line.
Yeah, and I had a chance last night to talk to Corey LeBounty. And I told him who we had on today, and he said, Coach, you be sure and mention to Crystal that Corey LeBounty is still her biggest fan. And talking to Crystal Johnson, the head ladies basketball coach at Hoover High School, they've won 5 straight 7A titles and had a big game yesterday against Vestavia Hills. Coach, welcome to the Thompson Tractor Prep Sports Report. Thank you for joining us. And tell us a little bit about your game yesterday.
Thank you for having me. It's always a pleasure to talk with you guys. So our game yesterday started off a little rough. We didn't come out playing the way we wanted to, and although we were up 27-10 at halftime, we weren't playing the way we knew we could play. So I would say out of the 4 quarters, third quarter was the best. We outscored them 30-5. Finally started to show some energy and some intensity that we had been missing from the first half. So we are happy to get our first area win in a tough environment. Playing at Vestavia is always tough. We've actually lost there the last 2 regular seasons at Vestavia. So I'm not pleased, but, you know, a win's a win and something to build on, something to watch film on and get better from.
Coach, a couple of players I want to ask you about, because as I talk to people in the in the Over the Mountain gang, and I hear a lot of talk about your center, Chloe Ford, and your point guard, Aaliyah Blanchard, but you must have a freshman point guard that is a mighty good player, too, that you're going to have for, I guess, three more years. Talk a little bit about those three young ladies.
Yes, Chloe and Aaliyah are both seniors. They both signed to play in college. Chloe is going to play at Mizzou, and Aaliyah is going to play at Middle Tennessee State. Those two have been on varsity since freshman year. Aaliyah practiced with varsity even though she played JV, but just got some valuable time around our seniors that season. We had a really big group of seniors that year, and I think they kind of laid the groundwork for making them the players and the leaders they are now. Chloe is a dominant force. Like last night, for instance, we were all fussing at her about how she was playing. She finished with 24 points. But like I told her, I was like, you could have 40 easily. So it's kind of hard to get excited when you know that she's not showing her all at times. But I think that halftime talk definitely helped her out. Aaliyah, to me, is kind of one of those that flies under the radar. She's the hardest working player in the state. It's hard to keep her off the glass. It's hard to keep her from doing what she wants to do. She can score at all three levels. We can post her up. She leads us in three-point shooting. You said she's a point guard because she can play multiple positions for us, so that makes her invaluable on both ends of the court because she's just always full of energy and flying around. And then that freshman point guard you're talking about is Kristen Winston. She's actually been on varsity since seventh grade, so even though she's a freshman, this is year three. Yeah, this is year three of six. But just a phenomenal player. She has national recognition. She has offers from just about anybody that you can think of. She's a 5'10 point guard and can also play multiple positions and probably one of the hardest people to make a pass on in the state because of how long her arms are. So it's a pleasure to have all three of them in my program. And obviously we have some other girls too. We can't mention them all, but our team is just known for playing hard and being gritty and playing with intensity.
Well, you really do. And the thing that you do is you develop these players. And the beauty of that is you're not involved in that transfer portal that so many of our high schools across the state are. You just develop them. You put them on the varsity in the seventh grade to practice with you. And then by the time Kristen Winston, we watched her in the state championship last year. And I'm going to tell you right now, Mark, you couldn't score on her. You could not score on Kristen Winston. And Randy would shoot a three-pointer.
I would step back.
I mean, he hit a three-pointer against the Harlem Globetrotters. My goodness, nobody could stop him. So, But you have a tremendous team. This is one of the reasons I wanted to get you on, Crystal. And I'm going to learn to spell your name, I promise you. That's a beautiful way to spell Crystal.
Just remember Crystal Carrington off the show Dynasty. That's who I'm named after.
And let me tell you about this lady. She's a pretty good basketball player herself. I think, if I'm not mistaken, and I go back a long time, you originally signed with UCLA, right?
Yes, sir. That's correct.
She's shy. She doesn't like to talk about herself. Now, I'm just telling you. But she ends up playing at the University of Alabama. And let me tell you, Corey LeMounty loves this lady and says they compared her in women's basketball to Shaq in men's basketball.
Wow.
Said she was that dominant. So you got a big fan down here in Mobile, Crystal.
Yes, I'm a huge fan of Corey's as well.
Well, we love Corey here. I want you to talk a little bit about how the transfer portal in college has affected women's basketball in your sport. How has it affected? I think we're seeing about as many ladies signing scholarships as we have in the past. Am I accurate on that or not?
Yeah, I think you are. As a person that's transferred, I'm obviously not against transferring. I know times are different. And back when I was in college, transferring, you always kind of looked down upon. It was actually one of the reasons why I was hesitant. I was hesitant to transfer. I probably should have left after my freshman year, but transferring was kind of like that, you know, that scarlet red A on you. So I think nowadays it just makes it less relational for coaches, more transactional. People are just looking for the next big paycheck, and it's hard to get players to play hard when they're looking for money. Like, it's I don't know. I mean, I know players need to get paid. I just think we need to find a better way to do it, because now you got people just jumping ship, not because they're not happy with coaches or teammates or even their playing situation. You got captains and leaders and of teams that are leaving just because they want more money, and that just makes it more, like, transactional. And I think the beauty of college basketball was just the relationships. Like, me and my teammates, we had alumni day at Bama last weekend, and seeing my old teammates and people from the teams before us, and it just makes it, you know, it's a family, and now it's almost like it's a business. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, you can lose a coworker one day and you don't even think nothing about it. So I think it needs to be under control. We need to figure out a way to pay players without making it where people are just jumping ship just because they want more money, because at the end of the day, they're going to leave college and go into some jobs where they will never make the money that they're making in college, and that could be bad for kids' mental health. And it just, to me, is producing a lot of problems that we may not see right now, but we'll see in 3, 4, 5 years where, I mean, if I leave college making $200,000 and my first job is offering me $50,000, I'm going to be a little down on what I got to do every day from 9 to 5.
John, well said.
Yeah. It's already a huge transition, but add this to it, and it's making it even more difficult for these people that are, you know, these college athletes once they leave college.
You know, and Mark, I believe she's absolutely right in that, and I know we've talked about that. It's what are you doing for me today? Not about what's good for you in 3 years or 5 years. Yeah. What are you doing for me today? And the sense of loyalty, we've talked about that, guys. Yeah. Sense of loyalty is just not there, and you're seeing a lot of these coaches, not just in college but in high school too, Coach. You're seeing them saying, hey, I'm done with it.
Yeah, we're seeing a lot of coaches step away. Crystal, you got a pretty unique staff there. Talk just a little bit about your staff.
Well, I have Coach Donnie Quinn. I was his assistant at Hoover from 2007 to 2012 and learned a lot from him. Coach Quinn is like a mentor to me. Like, we've gotten to the point now, we've been around each other so long that we're thinking the same thing, finishing each other's sentences. And I've seen him since the day he got to Alabama to now, and just to watch him evolve with the game, that's a huge honor for me just to have him by my side. My other assistant coach is Coach Corey Bell. He's young, started off as a volunteer, and he is, I mean, all into the film. Like, he is super invested, so he's huge for us. Got Coach Nehemiah Cowan. He's the one person who was on staff before I got to Hoover and kept him on, and he's like family to me. He's also like disciplinarian of our coaching staff. He's one of the football coaches as well, but once he's done with football, he dives straight into girls basketball. And my last assistant is his second year. His name is Montarius Wilson. A lot more quiet than the rest of us, but he was also a grad assistant down at ULM with the men, so he's seen the game of basketball a lot and gives our girls a lot of insight during the game.
Crystal, thank you so much for joining us. I'm excited about – we just had Carla Berry on. She's going over to Louisiana to play today. I'm excited about how you and Carla and many of you lady coaches are doing some intersectional play. I think it's great for our sport, and I love keeping up with you ladies during the year.
Yes, sir. It's hard for us to find a game in Alabama sometimes, so we have to go out of state.
I can imagine.
And let me ask
and
you,
is Kristen Winston – I'm here for it.
Is Kristen Winston – is that Jameis? Is that the Winston family?
No, is she that, is not related from, to them. Nope, different set of Winstons.
Okay.
Jonah asked the same thing. He was like, is she related to me? I said, no, they're different set of Winstons.
Coach, we want to thank you for taking time to be with us. Good luck for the rest of the season. I'm sure we'll have you back on real soon. But thanks for taking time to be with us today.
Yes, sir. Thank y'all. And Roll Tide.
Roll Tide. There you go.
There you go.
Y'all throw that in there.
Love it.
Roll Tide. Crystal Johnson, women's basketball coach at Hoover.
Oh, that's a stab in the back.
All right, we'll take a timeout. Our final timeout. When we come back, Mark will have the Camp Gray segment right here on the Thompson Tractor Prep Sports Report.
This segment of the Thompson Tractor Prep Sports Report, brought to you by Camp Grace. Now back to Coach Rick Cleveland.
Camp Grace is located in West Mobile as the summer home of Camp Rapahope, Camp Mash, Camp Smile, and Camp Sugar Falls, as well as the home of Outback Mobile and is shared by many other community organizations throughout the Mobile area. Camp Grace is a place where God's love is bestowed freely upon others, the true definition of God's grace.
Today, I mentioned earlier, we're going to talk a little bit about gratitude today and what we have to be grateful for. You know, first of the year, every year, there's a lot of things. We look back on the year that we've had, and then we look forward to the year we have coming. And I was doing this little thing on gratitude, and I never have seen it like this, but it says, gratitude, the secret advantage. And I go, what does that mean? First of all, in Thessalonians 5:18, the Bible says, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ. Notice it doesn't say after you win. It says in all circumstances, after a big victory or after a tough loss. After you make the play of the game and you're the star, or after you ride the bench and you're just the guy sitting there. Gratitude is one of the most overlooked advantages in sports. It really is. It's also overlooked in our lives. That's why it's overlooked in sports. Thankful athletes play differently. Here's some things that I want you to, when I read this, I started noticing and thinking about. Grateful and thankful athletes play harder. They hustle harder. They respect their teammates more. They remain more coachable. They bounce back faster. Gratitude keeps a loss from turning into discouragement and keeps a win from turning into pride. Think about how many times, think about how many things have to happen or have to line up just for a kid to put on a uniform. Got to have supportive parents, a coach who cares, a healthy body, teammates who want to push you, and an opportunity everyone may not get. Every practice, every whistle, every early morning workout is a gift. When Jesus fed the 5,000, he didn't complain about what he didn't have. He gave thanks for what he did have, and God multiplied it. When athletes give thanks to God for the chance that they've been given, he multiplies their effort, their growth, their impact. Gratitude, this is what I love most, does not change the scoreboard, but it changes the person wearing the jersey. The athlete who lives grateful will always win something far greater than a trophy. They win character. And as I think about that as an athlete, as a dad, as a friend, as just a person, am I grateful in all things, in all circumstances? Because all of us go through tough times. We're always, oh, man, that was great. We won this and we won that and we did this and that was great and yada, yada. But where does that stop and the pride take over and it becomes all about you? Where is it when we play a game or we ride the bench and we just, are we still grateful? Can we still be grateful? Today, I'm older, and they talk about when you get older that people that are older are wiser. I'm not sure if it's wiser or you've just had more experiences to draw upon, which should hopefully make you wiser. And as I look back on my life, you know, I have so much to be grateful for. So much to be grateful for. Just to get up here and come and spend 2 hours with you guys. It is gratifying to me. When we come in here, we laugh, we joke, we have a good time, we enjoy. For these 2 hours, we get to kind of come in here and we'll kick around some of the bad things that are going on. But at the end of the day, this 2 hours is about the three of us and our listeners and who we're here with and who we're grateful for, all of our sponsors. But it's about edifying the people we're talking with.
Amen.
Each of us and the people that are hearing us. and the coaches that call in, and they get to talk about their teams. It's about edifying those coaches and those schools and those players. I'm grateful that we get this opportunity. I'm grateful we have sponsors that back us enough to keep us on the air. I'm grateful for that. And then you think about not just the business, but the people in that business, who they are. They're friends of ours. They're people who are just wonderful people that care about the same things that we care about. And so that was my message this morning. If there's a message, it's not really a message. It's just a few words that say thanks.
Yeah, I think it's a great message, Mark. And you don't have to look any further than what we saw last night on TV. You didn't see it, but at the end of the game, they interviewed the quarterback from Indiana. And he's just like a little kid in a part league game. He was so grateful to be playing there for Indiana University, just to be in that packed house in Atlanta, and giving credit where credit is due to his Lord and Savior. And that to me, I mean, he was like a kid in a candy shop.
Yeah.
He really was.
You know, you're talking about Fernando Mendoza, the quarterback, Heisman Trophy winner. Yeah. Here's a guy that does very little on social media. His social media, not X, not Facebook, LinkedIn, that's it. That's all he does.
Yeah.
Grateful, humble, and that's what you're talking about.
Yeah.
That's a great, great Camp Grace segment, Mark. I mean that.
Thank you.
Thank you for that.
Can I mention one thing that we're grateful about, too? One thing that we're grateful about is at Bujor's Cajun Grill, they're bringing back the cheesecake, the famous Mardi Gras cheesecake.
And the fat.
The fat pack will be even fatter.
With the expanding man.
Matt, you know what? That's exactly right. That's a great way to describe Matt, the expanding man. Matt,
he's helping us all expand.
That's right.
With cheesecake. I have to buy a larger size belt. Therefore, it helps the economy because I'm going to the store and buying belts, buying fat pack pants, you know, that are got the stretch waist.
Spandex. That's what you need.
No, I can't wear spandex.
Guys,
oh, my goodness.
Guys, we got to mention there's a new head football coach at Foley. Brian Moore is now the head football coach at Foley. He's a former head coach at Hartsel, former head coach at Opelika, and that's a really good hire for the folks in Foley, and excited to see how things turn out for him there.
Yeah, I am too. You know, he's going to work for a great principal. I think the world of Jessica Webb.
Ooh, that's a
principal there. Tremendous coach.
Yep.
Tremendous mother. What a wonderful woman she is. And she is no nonsense now. She's not going to play.
Yeah.
She has certain things that she believes in, and she put those things on the table for her new coach.
Yep.
And she got her guy, and I think she made a really good hire. I think he's going to be a good addition to Foley.
Yep.
And I really hope that Foley can get where they need to be, because, man, it's just great when all of Baldwin County's playing good football.
It's good stuff, Randy. Thank you for everything you do, Marcus. Great to see you again. Great to be here together with you. I'm grateful for the same things you are there. Remember this: no matter what you do, no matter where you go, he is always with you. God bless you.